survey form.
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. We'll bring you more stories on this special edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news on this Tuesday, November 5th, which is Election Day across the United States. U.S. presidential candidates from the Republican and Democratic parties pitch their last messages to voters.
I see a nation determined to turn the page on hatred and division and chart a new way forward.
We have a beautiful lead. All we have to do, Mike, all we have to do is go out on Tuesday and vote, vote, vote.
We'll have these stories on this special coverage of U.S. elections coming to you on South Sudan in Focus. Voters in the United States cast ballots Tuesday to choose their next president. Political polls show candidates Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in a close race. VOA correspondent Scott Stans has our story.
Kamala Harris spent the last days of her campaign in the swing state of Michigan, meeting with voters at a Detroit chicken and waffle restaurant and speaking at a local church, where she said voters in her Democratic Party, commonly associated with the color blue, are being joined by voters from the Republican Party, who are associated with red.
I see a nation determined to turn the page on hatred and division and chart a new way forward. As I travel, I see Americans from so-called red states to so-called blue states who are ready to bend the arc of history toward justice.
Donald Trump campaigned in the swing state of North Carolina, where he told supporters he's confident of an Election Day win.
As we have a beautiful lead. All we have to do, Mike, all we have to do is go out on Tuesday and vote, vote, vote.
Trump told supporters that their opponents are already trying to steal this election.
They cheat in elections, and you call them on it, and they want to put you in jail. Think about it. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen, but I love it. You know why? Because we've proven something, we've shown something, and we're going to get it fixed, and we got to win this election.
At that rally, Trump again suggested violence against political opponents, this time the media. Harris says this election is about more than partisan politics and those who she says, quote, seek to deepen divisions, sow hate, spread fear, and cause chaos.
And I pledge to listen to people who disagree with me. Because, you see, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy. Seat at the table, because that's what strong leaders do.
More than 75 million Americans have already voted in this election. That's nearly half the total who voted 4 years ago. Public opinion polls show a close race, with the closing New York Times Siena College survey showing voters equally split at 48% for both Trump and Harris. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
One of the most ethnically diverse counties in the southeastern United States will be among those to issue early results in the national election Tuesday night. From Lawrenceville, Georgia, VOA Chief National Correspondent Steve Hammond gets a look at how the votes are being processed in Gwinnett County, just outside Atlanta.
The activity is already underway at the Gwinnett County Voter Registration and Election Headquarters in the swing state of Georgia. Workers are scanning in advance several hundred thousand ballots submitted by mail-in and early voters. The tabulations of these ballots will be released the moment the polls close at 7 p.m. Tuesday. Zach Manifold, the county's elections supervisor, tells VOA News that up to 70% of the vote total from those already processed ballots will be known within that first hour.
And then kind of the long night begins. Our first precinct usually arrives maybe about 8:30. Just depending on how much line there is at 7 o'clock. But 8:30 is the first precinct. We have 156 precincts that all have to come back. I don't know why, but it always seems like that last one comes in sometime between 11:30 and midnight.
Gwinnett County is remarkable for its exceptional diversity, with no single ethnic group making up more than a third of its residents.
We have a very large Hispanic population, Asian population, Black population. It is a mixture of what is America. And so I think a lot of the reason that people are wanting to see what Gwinnett's like is I think Gwinnett is a lot like modern America.
Democrat Joe Biden's strong margin in the suburban county 4 years ago helped him narrowly win Georgia and thus the presidency, unseating Republican Donald Trump. Gwinnett County voted Republican every year between 1980 and 2012, but went narrowly for Democrat Hillary Clinton in 2016. Political novice Donald Trump won Georgia overall that year, which was key to his unexpected presidential victory. Steve Herman, VOA News, Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Still on elections, Donald Trump and his team are gathered in Palm Beach County in Florida. VOA senior national correspondent Caroline Presidi is there, and she spoke to James Batty, managing editor of Daybreak Africa, about what she's seeing.
I'm about two blocks right now away from the Palm Beach County Convention Center, and that is going to turn into Trump headquarters tomorrow on our election day. In the afternoon, they will all be there, former President Trump, his aides, his staff members. They are calling it an election watch party, followed by a victory party. We don't know yet if he's going to be victorious, but that is how they are billing it. And that convention center will seat many of the media and also many of his supporters and volunteers and aides throughout this entire campaign. Today, I spent the entire afternoon there, and I watched many county and state workers put up the huge metal fences around the convention center. They're creating what they call a road tunnel in front of the convention center. Now, keep in mind, this is a presidential candidate who has had two attempted assassinations on his life. So that is why they're being extra careful with security. The Secret Service is indeed in charge, and this road tunnel will be reducing the number of lanes in front of the convention center from 4 to 2. And the only people that will be allowed to pull into the convention center will be the members of the media like us that have credentials to enter the center, and also those invited guests into the center. Otherwise, it'll just be traffic as usual, and there will be a lot of traffic, of course. There's also a polling center right across the street from the convention center, so it will be a crazy day here in Palm Beach.
That's VOA's senior correspondent Carolyn Presidi in West Palm Beach, Florida. She spoke with VOA's James Batty. Here in Washington, VOA's Kiswahili service reporter Huba Abdi is at Howard University, where Vice President and Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris will host election watch party tonight. We go live to Uba for updates. Hello, Uba.
Yes, Mr. Tanza.
Yeah, can you tell us what you're seeing where you are at Howard University?
Thank you so much, Tanza, for having me. Well, as you have rightly put it, today Vice President Kamala Harris and the presidential candidate for Democratic is planning to spend at least the night of the 2024 presidential election at the Howard University. This event has been marked as one of a significant choice for Kamala Harris. It is remembered that Howard is a historically Black university in Washington, D.C., and has been central to her personal and political journey. This university, many say, it has played a major role in shaping Kamala Harris' identity and also her career. She has been also actively involved as a student here, and many students whom we have spoke to are saying that it is an honor for them to have their university hosting such an event tonight.
And Uwe, you covered a lot of elections in Kenya, your home country. How would you compare the process you are witnessing now and, you know, the other elections you covered in Africa?
Well, Tanzania, we can say many African countries use a popular vote system for both presidential and parliamentary election, and there are variations such as runoff systems for candidates who do not achieve. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead, Uba. We can hear you loud and clear.
Runoff systems for candidates who do not achieve a majority on the first one. But the U.S. uses an electoral college system for presidential election where citizens vote for electors who then select the president. This is different from direct popular voting common in many African countries. Also, the campaigns here in the United States are often highly financed, relying heavily on donation, which is significant spending on advertisement, rallies, and digital outreach. But back home in Africa, and especially Kenya, campaign funding in African countries varies widely, but often relies on more grassroots method for engagement, depending on wealthier candidates or ruling parties, which may still have an advantage due to access to state resources.
And talk to me about the behavior of voters, where you are now, and, you know, the past elections you covered in your home country.
Yes. I've spoken to them. Having covered the DNC and RNC, one in Chicago and the other one in Wisconsin, I've seen that there's this willingness and people are looking forward to have their 47th president, especially today that majority have voted already. But earlier in the week, I spoke to some who had voted on the early voting, and they expressed this as an event whereby it's convenient, a system whereby if we had this back at home, it would have saved a lot of time. For them, they're looking forward on who is their 47th president, and today here at the Howard University, there are also students who are looking forward to watch as the results are streaming in tonight.
And talk to me about the process. I mean, some elections in Africa have gone wrong. People fight at polling stations. Some polling stations don't open on time. Have you witnessed that here?
No, I haven't witnessed such a thing. Like I said earlier, people were given an opportunity, and this has been a system in the United States whereby people, some will vote early, others will vote via post. This shows that they really care about the voters. But back home, as you know, we have one day, the same day where the ballot boxes are very late. It's chaotic and everything. But when you look at the United States, you find that people are voting today and results start streaming in today. Probably by tonight or tomorrow, the United States or people in the United States will be able to know who is their president. For us, we have to wait for a week. This brings so much anxiety, and anxiety causes violence. And if we had such a system back home, I think I will move forward and help and at least have something that will help the whole country.
And what lessons have you learned from the two processes that you are describing to me?
I think the United States one is a bit calm. I've covered election back home, but it has been chaotic. Getting people to talk to you, obviously, it's easier to get people to talk to you, but covering the same election, waiting for election back, I can say, for example, Kenya, the Bomas Center, becomes so difficult. You cannot even know what's going on. So much propaganda and everything. But here, at least you can see there's some protocol, there's some pattern whereby people are following this election because it means something to the people. And we need to have such things back at home because if you don't have such an environment whereby people will exercise their rights in a calm way, then it becomes like people do not trust in the process. Example, back Kenya. Today, if you go and ask any Kenya, what do they think about their electoral, like the IBC, people be like, no, they rigged in, they did this and that. But here, it's like whoever wins will win. That's why they're also saying that this election is tight, and people are seeing from all corners of the country where this side is really telling and polling posts showing that this candidate is doing this and that. So there's so much different, and I'm happy that I've been able to witness both sides, and I can say it's good for also my career as a journalist to be able to tell what this African continent does its work and how the Americans do their elections.
Thank you, Uba Abdi, for that update. That's VOA's Kiswahili Service reporter, Uba Abdi, who is at Howard University, where Vice President and Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris will host Election Watch Party tonight. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, U.S. elections is having far-reaching effects. Find out why after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. U.S. elections can have far-reaching consequences and are watched closely by the rest of the world. Here are voices from Africa on the U.S. elections.
Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. I'm Daniel Ariak Michael in Yai Town. On the perception of the U.S. system of election, the whole world is looking forward to the U.S. general election come 5th of November 2024. My views on the U.S. election is that the two comrades should adhere free, fair, and credible elections for the people of America. Therefore, I urge the two parties, that is to say, the Democratic nominee Kamala Harris and the Republican Donald Trump, to exercise patience for whoever loses the election for the betterment of the people of America and the whole world. Thanks.
I'm calling people to find out if they got the ballot, the token to vote, because they can ask. There are millions of Americans living outside of America, and their vote can make a difference.
I think that this system of only having two candidates is not very good. Bipartisan doesn't give you any other option.
I believe to vote when you are not in the U.S., we have to understand that the U.S. is represented, for example, here in the DRC through the embassy. The embassy is American territory. That means anyone who is eligible to vote have to go and be informed by the embassy. Just resource itself from the embassy. The embassy will lead them out to vote. I would say democracy aims the development of the country. Justice to be applied, human right to be respected.
Me, definitely, as an American that has lived overseas for so long, a lot of times I do look at foreign policy and how the foreign policy affects those where I live. And also, I think the foreign policy really can have an impact on Americans living overseas.
Those are voices from Africa commenting on the U.S. elections. Observers are watching eagerly for results of the U.S. election and comparing U.S. involvement in Africa under Democratic and Republican parties. David Monda, professor of political science at City University of New York, explains to VOA's senior analyst Mohammed Al-Ashanawi what a Trump or Harris administration could bring to U.S. relations with Africa.
A Trump administration, I think, would be more inward-looking. It would be more isolationist and more resistant to international frameworks to engage the world, and in particular Africa. So I fear under Trump, we would see actually even less engagement with Africa and even less effort for the United States to engage with the U.S. International Finance Corporation. And I'm specifically saying that in relation to the high tariffs that Trump is proposing for goods not only from China, but from foreign countries, and Africa would be included. And I also fear then for the implementation of AGOA, which is also due for renewal, and Trump's seriousness around that. I might tend to see probably a better engagement with Kamala Harris within internationalists, more of a multilateral cooperative framework, and then possibly re-engagement with the U.S. International Finance Corporation, with a renewal of AGOA under better terms and less tariffs on international trade and better access for African goods and services into the U.S. market. So I really see two different visions in terms of engaging Africa. I think Trump would generally be more transactional and based on U.S. interests, and Africa would go much lower down the scale of priorities. And I think maybe Kamala might advance more enhanced engagement with the continent.
Some experts said that Kamala Harris could have closer connections to Africa, especially that during her visit to three African countries last year, she promised to unveil the partnership of digital access in Africa to connect 1 billion people to the internet by the year 2030. They said if Trump is elected, Africa may receive less attention because he is focused on America first. What's your take on that?
I think it's a bit simplistic to assume that with Trump, we would have necessarily less of engagement with the continent because Trump is a very transactional leader. So I think it will really depend on each individual African country and how they are able to lobby the White House in a Trump administration to advance whatever interest that is. So for example, countries like Egypt, which are central to the Middle East process and with setting up peace with Israel, might receive a lot more attention. South Africa, of course, because of its economy, Nigeria because of the oil, Kenya because of the trade, they might receive a lot more attention from Trump in a transactional basis than the more neglected countries, maybe say Niger or Chad or even Sudan, which is currently facing, you know, a civil war. But I do think Kamala Harris will be looking to not only increase this element of digital access, but also to try and bridge that gap in terms of competition between the United States and China and the United States and Russia in Africa. I see, again, Trump being able to re-engage with the continent, but again, on a transactional basis in terms specifically around checking and containing China's access to critical minerals, for example, around strategic minerals in the Great Lakes region, access to petrochemical hydrocarbons in countries like Nigeria and Guinea-Bissau, and also more use of hard power in terms of thinking about Donald Trump around reinforcing AFRICOM and these defense treaties to counter radical jihadism. So whereas both administrations might be centered on U.S. interests when they engage Africa and try to check other powers influencing the continent, be that China or Russia, I think the way they would do that would be different. Kamala Harris might focus more on international multilateral frameworks in trying to have the United States leadership establishing global norms and addressing U.S. interests on the continent. But I think a Trump foreign policy would be very inward looking, very isolationist, and might only engage Africa on very key and specific issues.
That's David Monda, professor of political science at City University of New York. He spoke with VOA's senior analyst, Mohammed Al-Ashenawi. As you have heard, today is the last day to vote in the election, and VOA's Anthony Lobruto is in the southern state of Georgia, one of the seven states that could go either way in this presidential election. He's online and spoke with my colleague Yehes Wihub from the town of Marietta.
So I'm here outside of the Cobb County Civic Center, one of the bigger polling centers here in Marietta, Georgia. And I have to say, there really isn't a lot of excitement happening here today. Around 5 million people have already voted in the state of Georgia for their early voting. So the people are just trickling in. There really isn't those lines that you normally would expect to see ahead of these elections. But they're coming in, able to vote very, very quickly, very, very easily. I've been seeing people come in and out under about 5 minutes.
And Georgia is a swing state, so every vote is very important, right?
Yes, it has become incredibly, incredibly important. Like I had mentioned on Africa 54 yesterday, Joe Biden won this state in 2020 by about 0.2%. I believe that's about 30,000 votes. And in a state of millions of people, it's certainly every vote, like you said, is going to count.
So now that the last day of in-person voting is happening, when can we expect to see results?
So it's a bit of a complicated question. So Georgia, the Georgia Supreme Court actually for Cobb County just recently issued a ruling saying that around 3,000 ballots that were sent out after October 30th will have to be brought in by about 7 p.m. today in order to be counted. All votes have to be counted, according to the ruling, by about 7 p.m. today, starting at 7 p.m. today. So we can expect to see potentially some exit polls, some preliminary polling around that time. But Georgia is also hand-counting all of their ballots this year, so it's certainly going to be a little bit more of a slower process, but it'll be a little bit more of a secure process. So I'm anticipating probably a little bit later tonight that we'll see actually some concrete results.
That's VOA's Anthony Lobruto in the southern state of Georgia. Stay tuned for more updates on the U.S. elections by visiting voaafrica.com. For more updates on the U.S. election, go to www.voaafrica.com.
Americans are heading to the polling stations across the country to cast their votes in one of the most closely watched elections. Will the results bring change or continuity? Join VOA Africa for up-to-the-minute coverage of the voting process, breaking updates, and live results. Stay tuned to VOA Africa and don't miss a moment of this historic decision-making process.
That's all we prepared for you on this Tuesday, November 5th, which is an election day here for Americans across the 51 states. We now leave you with a Balanda song from Western Bahar Ghazal State.
Zongo del big bano aini
Navanga
Navanga Navanga Matino ini
Navanga
Nama voice on the wise banundini Nabande Nama voice on the wise banundini Navanga Vanga in dong Navanga in de Navanga Mori well no we thought this in egg we uta Mori well no we thought Navanga, 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 Navanga,
Navanga,
Navanga, Navanga,
Navanga,
Navanga, Navanga,
Navanga, Navanga,
Navanga, Navanga, Navanga,
Navanga, Navanga,
Navanga, Navanga, Navanga,
Navanga,
Ba wili takitito, da dorto, da dirni la malama, da semuro sala sala. Ana no na bande, ana no na kawinde. Kabeta no ka ibiwo, kabeta no ka bangaso. Keni no na mendiri, da sineta kawina. Neta mano ini. Banga wilina, di wello di sineng biuta. Banga wilina, di wello di sinez isanyo. Ana no na bangande. Del base kawio na bangande kawiti wena tawpi nananoka kawiti wena tawpi matino ini delba na bangande delba
We have been listening to that Balanda song from Western Bahar Ghazal State. I bet that's the best song we could play on a day like this to take care of election fever. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, John Riding, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.